Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 707. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
You know, it's for the most part now the new usual. Somehow, even though I am driving 2 less hours every day, I seem to be more busy. I'm not quite sure how that works. But that's how it's happened. But other than that, I would have to say I always get a laugh out. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to is Puck Soup, which has a couple of hockey writers on it that are from other parts, and they always talk. They joke about how they always end up. The big news in hockey always breaks, like, right after they're done recording. Or, like, the day after they're done recording, and they end up having to wait a full week to talk about something. And I feel like that has been the case here for good old Stunt Granny for a little while here now with the recording schedule.
Yeah, especially when apparently Jeremy Mays can't stay home on a Thursday night anymore. I have nothing to do with that show, ladies and gentlemen. If you're upset with the coverage AEW gets, the news of the week gets, address your concerns to Kevin DeFrango, not me. I'm here every Tuesday.
Well, AEW usually gets covered live, so I don't think the AEW fans have any shouldn't have any real problems. I wouldn't think. Some of the other news, like a, because if I'm not mistaken, this was last Thursday the WWE announced. Another round of talent cuts.
Yes, it was. And it was, I want to say, sometime between 5 and 6 p.m. the news started trickling out. You know, so after business hours. they try to, a lot of companies will do that with if they have to report bad news or put out bad, you know,
bad press.
You know, bad press releases, they'll do that after business hours. A lot of times, even on a Friday after 5 p.m., just hope that the story is buried by morning or the next Monday.
By Monday, yeah. That's some stellar work there by pretty much everyone.
But this was not a trickle out. This was a dam bursting.
I mean, I guess I haven't really kept track of the number of people in each of these cuts.
I've read today it's about 70 in total this year, not even taking account the releases from last year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that's quite a bit. You can fill an entire roster with. A third promotion can come along and fill the roster with that, and maybe whatever else they can cherry pick off the indies.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, that's wild that it's. But I guess I was thinking of it more in reference to the fact that this felt like the biggest round of cuts.
I think it was. It definitely feels like it was.
But that is all craziness to. 70 people is just obviously a poop ton of people.
Yeah, that's the entire year, of course, not just last week. But
well, and I would assume, does that number include the front office people, or is that just talent?
That's just talent.
Wow. Because they've done some house cleaning in that department, too.
Yeah, they posted I think a near record profitable quarter, or maybe it's the most profitable quarter in company history. And then the next day, they fired their CFO. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know what else you can ask of a man to have record profits and then get rid of him. I guess unless his they thought his work was redundant.
I believe it was she. I believe it's her. Yeah, but yes, all your rest of your points are incredibly valid.
Oh man. Yeah, so that is a lot of lot of fat trimming. Is it bad to say that it probably has not hurt their TV product in a significant way? At least as far as having bodies there to replace these people.
Not particularly. No. It's again, WWE still has a lot of wrestlers under contract. Sucks for all these people. I mean, obviously, of the list that was released, the biggest shocking name, I think, without a doubt, Keith Lee. Someone who should have been a huge star for years to come for them. So he is in his late 30s, with wear and tear and a year's worth of health issues behind him, but it's still an absolutely shocking release. There's still a lot you can do with Keith Lee. If he doesn't end up in AEW, then they do have. If he doesn't end up in AEW with a big push, then yes, AEW does have a big issue, a big racial issue of not being handed the top black free agent right off of WWE TV and then push him to the moon the way that they have other people who've been released right off other people who've been pushed right off of WWE TV. Excuse me, come right off from WWE TV and get pushed to the moon immediately.
Hey, yeah, like he really it. I guess I'm not really trying to give the WWE any type of credit, but maybe at least the mindset, the mindset definitely seems to have been for the a lot of these people, they were a little bit on the older side.
Yeah, many of them were, and yes,
there were. On the older side. Yeah, I believe that there are a few that were not, but because Trey Baxter has to be ridiculously young.
Yeah, those are some of the ones that are kind of baffling because some of these people did not get to NXT until 4 to 6 months ago. Or getting the Performance Center.
Yeah.
And just to not really get a chance and then let them go. No, that sucks. Then why did you bring them in the first place?
And I guess Keith Lee isn't in that situation. Like, that guy is a finished product at this point.
Yeah.
Like, the WWE has had this weird penchant, and I mean, I think it's been pretty clear, like, I feel like Karrion Kross was kind of in the same boat as Keith Lee. Neither of us were fans of his, but wow, man, they really saddled him with some awful stuff before getting rid of him. And his wife.
It feels like it was on purpose. I don't know who he pissed off, but it feels like that it was on purpose. But then they gave him the wins they gave him. So it's just like I don't understand.
Yeah, that one to because Karrion Kross, whether we liked him or not, like you said, like he got some significant wins on TV. They used a lot of time for him.
Yeah, but he always looked stupid as well. Even if he was winning, the helmet.
Oh yes.
Walking out with the whole presentation without Scarlett, then changing the presentation. Nothing. None of it worked. It almost seemed designed to humiliate him and hurt him on the open market. On what open market would become. It'll be interesting to see if he lands anywhere in particular. Absolutely badly exposed on this run. He was getting badly exposed in NXT. Including by one Mr. Adam Cole, who buried the NXT champion right in front of the entire world and then bounced to AEW. He was allowed to do that.
Yeah, it would not seem like AEW would be a great landing spot for him.
I don't think it really would not. It wouldn't at all. So I think him and Scarlett have issues with the management of Impact. And then, there's not a lot.
Yeah, he does not have Ring of Honor to go to now.
No, he doesn't have a Ring of Honor. I don't even know if he was really a good fit there either. It's not a great market for a mediocre big guy who's not that big like Cross.
He is definitely going to be in a weird spot, and I do agree with your point too, though, to at least circle back a little bit and then kind of move on. The Keith Lee stuff, like, there is no reason AEW shouldn't push that guy to the moon, like you said. If they have declined other, possible African-American free agents in lieu of someone else, like, Keith Lee is really there and ready to go. Like, it seems like Keith Lee has all the markets that he should want, honestly.
Yeah, he checks all the boxes. Absolutely, yeah. Now, in AEW, there really isn't a dominant big guy there at this point. You know, they've seen Wardlow as a project. Hager's just there. Luchasaurus is in a tag team. Keith Lee could be their big guy.
And it does give someone too, like, they have enough big guys that they probably need a few extra. Because, why am I forgetting his name with that? Lance Archer, always, you know, like, he doesn't have a whole lot of opponents to choose from. Miro is on the list of being on the bigger side.
Yeah, give me that match, yeah.
You know, and I'm trying, I feel like there's one other kind, you mentioned Wardlow and Hager. I think that might be about it for, you know, guys that are on the bigger end of things. So putting Keith Lee into that mix would kind of help. Like, they need at least a couple other guys to be able to change that tune up a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Keith Lee, like you said, he checks all the boxes for them. And, he'd be great. He would be great. I'm trying to think, you know, I guess I didn't really notice until I started rattling off the names to the wife, and she was actually the one to point it out to me about how many women got cut just as a general whole in this round. Because we had Frankie Monet, who that is definitely one that it was like, she was definitely on the list of why did they ever sign her?
She's a little older than they like, particularly for the women. That's just the way it is. Nothing too spectacular about her either to make up for that if age is the issue. That was definitely a weird signing.
Yeah, because, it didn't even seem like she had a chance in NXT, really, to do a whole lot. Which is kind of weird. Like, we've made fun of people not getting a chance on the main roster a lot. But that's not typically something that we really discuss as much in NXT. Some people get called up early, which is different than not getting a chance. You know? So, yeah, the Frankie Monet, it seemed like she'd fit right into a great women's division, and then she never really got used. So,
true.
Yeah, she had some moments occasionally, and she kind of took over the Robert Stone brand. And it is wild that Robert Stone is still hanging around.
Why? What does he do? Like, I don't want to see him lose their job, but what does he even do anymore? Aaliyah's on the main roster. They just got rid of Frankie Monet, who basically took over his shtick. What does he even have now? Did you have the list in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. Run down some of the women.
So Frankie, Scarlett Bordeaux, already discussed. Ember Moon.
We can talk about her. Why don't you keep running down?
Okay, Nia Jax, Eva Marie, B-Fab, Jessica Maia.
Jessica Maia. She's the other one who was with Robert Stone, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
So they have effectively just eliminated him.
Without eliminating him.
Yeah, that's weird. I wanted you to get to Jessica May. That was the main point of that exercise.
Okay. And then Zeta Ramir, Katrina Cortez, and Mia Yim.
Okay. Katrina Cortez is a really, really shitty situation. Her work visa is going to expire in 30 days, and she's going to be booted from the country.
Oh.
And she's under a non-compete, so she can't sign with anybody else.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's downright evil.
Wow. Not that all of this stuff is shady, but that's a different level of shady. You know, just because your employer normally helps you with stuff like that, that is double fucking you.
Yes, that is.
Oh, man. That is, oh, wow. That is, unfortunate is not a strong enough word. But I guess to double back at least the first name you told me to kind of that I paused on, at least Ember Moon.
Yeah, that's. It felt like there was a lot of potential for old Ember Moon, and none of it was ever really realized.
That's
outside of NXT.
Yeah, that's one that's going to be kind of interesting. She seemed to make a good name for herself on the indies. It was definitely a name that I saw a lot, but I'm not sure that I saw her work that much on the indies. And not saying that she's going to end up there necessarily, but she did have some chances. And the first run in NXT went well. The second run, you know, I don't know how much you blame on the main roster calling up her tag team partner, but they had also already won the women's tag team championships in NXT, and, would it have done them any good to win them back? Or to help her profile at all, really?
No, not really.
that's one to me where it's just like she kind of... I'm not going to say that she got a lot of opportunities, but she had at least some opportunities, and for whatever reason, it didn't seem to click. Which I really liked the way that her and Shotzi worked together.
I like that team. I like that team a lot. That was the best for Ember Moon had been since she lost the women's championship, the NXT women's championship.
Oh yeah, and you know that's another thing. Oh no, I was watching NXT when she was champion.
Yeah.
Just yeah, that finisher is still just so spectacular. It's really kind of surprising that that thing just by itself didn't get her over on the main roster.
Yeah, no, it's a very weird. Now, granted, she did have the long injury layoff.
Oh,
between yeah. her last run on the main roster and going back and being sent back to NXT, that can play a factor certainly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I want to say that was like 9 to 12 months. Like that, it was a pretty long stretch of time.
But she was not in any contention to be Raw or SmackDown Women's Champion, but before the injury either.
Oh no.
She got one. I think it really was probably one real opportunity, and that was I think she challenged. She challenged Bayley at a SummerSlam a couple of years back, right? I think that was the one big opportunity she ever really got.
Hey, yeah.
And it was really kind of felt like a throw together thing that didn't feel like there was any momentum on her side there either.
Yeah, she might have been one of the one of the women that got fed to Bayley during her long reign.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily recall it, but it wouldn't surprise me either. Because again, like with her layoff, and she's probably been back in NXT for over a year at this point. Like that would be the time frame that she would have been on the main roster.
Yeah,
because Bayley's been out for a little while now too. But yeah, like she's one that I guess I kind of understood in the scope of these. Like there wasn't a whole lot of ground to cover with her for the WWE reasons, at least. And yeah. There was one name that I skipped on the way through intentionally, just because I feel like there was some extra noise around this name. Nia Jax, no longer with the WWE.
Surprising due to her family lineage, how she was, you know, consistently pushed and in some way consistently given TV time. But you could feel it when they did the injury angle where Shayna took her out that something felt off about it. Something felt final about that.
Yeah, it was really kind of strange to have that happen, to have her, you know, like begging the way that they had her. I don't know if it felt final. It definitely had a strange vibe to it because to have such a big, you know, a strong, big, strong woman like her having to sell that much. It's not a good sign, usually.
No, it really isn't. Yeah, they really made her just weak at that moment.
Yeah,
and you know what? They've kept her through a lot of, you know, I don't know if controversy is the right word for it, but a lot of instances, you know, her reputation as someone who is reckless in the ring and unsafe and hurts her opponents, the Charlotte Flair incident several months back, she'd fallen into into Drake Younger and his QAnon conspiracy stuff, and that she wasn't vaccinated and was publicly denouncing vaccination. COVID vaccination,
despite her company running Get Vaccinated ads on their programming.
Yeah. They put up with a lot of crap from her. I mean, now if she needed a mental health break, they gave it to her, and then when she asked for more time off, let her go. That's, I guess, a little crappy. But when they had Shayna write her off the way that she did, or the way that they did, I felt this one coming. I could say in this case that I did. It's on the surface is surprising because, once again, simply because she's The Rock's cousin. Yeah. And they've seemingly put up with a lot of crap from her. But, well, other than a certain redhead, she might be the person released. I feel no. Oh, I feel Cross. I'm trying to think of okay, Cross, Nia, and Eva Marie are the three I don't feel bad for. On a wrestling fan level or a personal level in any way, shape, or form.
Jax is also in that territory of what else do you do with her? Like, either she's screwed it up by screwing up in the ring, or, you know, the story just hasn't done her any favors. Really, a lot of times. And it's just like, she's been champion. They don't know how to do babyface. And then they, like, immediately turned her babyface after she was champion, and it was super awkward. So, yeah, like, there wasn't a whole lot of territory to go with her. So that was just, to me, another reason to see her off. Like, and, yeah, I mean, she definitely is at the heart of a number of infamous instances. I mean, Becky Lynch even brought up the one when she got punched by Nia Jax the other day on commentary. So, there have definitely been enough of those incidences. So, yeah. And Eva Marie, yeah, it was weird that they brought her back. They could have worked I still think they could have worked a gimmick with her kind of putting over new talent. Like I think you and I had talked about it a lot, you know, her bringing in Doudrop is a pupil and then ultimately being terrible. And then the pupil just leaves her constantly. But who cares? Like, she wasn't, you know, I mean, she was not going to cut it in a WWE ring these days. Like, she wasn't cutting it back when she was originally on Total Divas. And the in-ring quality's only gotten better since then.
Yeah, no. Yeah, another, you know, bad hire, bad call to bring back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not much more to say about it than that.
B-Fab, definitely on my list of head scratchers.
Just brought up to the main roster. Supposedly given a new main roster contract. And then cut, like, a week later. Yeah, that makes no sense at all. For the Hit Row gimmick to really work, she's the one who can actually sing?
Yes. I think she's probably the second best talker. I would go with Swerve first, and then her second also.
Yeah, I guess you could certainly say that. Yeah, it's a very, you know, weird decision. And that has been the thing that's surrounding all of these releases, especially the ones this year. There seems to be no rhyme or reason to them. It's people just called up, people who barely got to NXT, barely got to Orlando, barely got their furniture moved in, and now they're gone already. And people in the middle of pushes, like, it doesn't make it's made no sense. It does not feel like there's been a great, once again, got to say it over and over again, don't want to see anyone lose their jobs. Well, except for maybe a few people, but But overall, there's just not selective enough about these releases. Why is Dolph Ziggler still on my TV after like 17 years? It's probably more. Yeah.
Yeah. It from a longevity standpoint,
and Dolph Ziggler, who makes more than like probably more than most of the people on this list. If you took four or five of them combined, who knows if they make what Dolph Ziggler makes?
Yeah,
to be a low carder.
Like you said, like these cuts are all kind of random. Like some of them, you're like, I guess I can understand. You know, if you're going the whole way back to like Braun Strowman or even Bray Wyatt more recently, like. You're going, oh, we're saving money. It's just like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Pretty much this entire list, not saving that much money, I wouldn't think. You know, like, not that, obviously, if you have less employees, you're not going to be spending as much money, but... none of these people strike me as big contract kind of people.
None of them probably were.
Except for Nia Jax. Like, Nia Jax is probably the biggest and most established main roster name on the list. Because, I mean, Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik have been around for a while now. But... that's one where the writing's been on the wall for like the majority of their tenure in the WWE. And that's not even to disparage. Like, I've liked their in-ring work when I've seen it, but they've been given almost no chance to develop characters in probably 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So not really much of a surprise there. And I guess the last kind of big name, but I'm not sure if there's anything more to say. Mia Yim never really getting a chance in the WWE. I thought that was a little bit strange. I had liked her work. Was she in Impact first?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
So I guess I liked her there, and I feel like she had moved on. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she was just there the whole time. I felt like she was one of those ones that makes some sense, but, that at least her cut, I think, maybe falls under the age cuts, where she's definitely a little bit older than some of the other female talent that they have on hand. So, is there anything more to be said about the cuts?
No, not really.
Okie dokie. That was unfortunately necessary and still yucky. A lot of people out the door. But, hey, we still had... I kind of felt bad for Hit Row having to be on... Because were they on SmackDown this past
week? They were on SmackDown as a trio, yeah.
Yeah. That would be tough to me to come in and work after something like that happening to my group. Especially since all of them paid tribute to B-Fab on her way out.
Yeah.
So that had to have been kind of rough. SmackDown. I guess story's still centering around Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, King Woods, and I can't remember which Uso he took on, whether it was Jimmy or Jay. at the end of the night, Jimmy.
I think it was Jimmy.
So we definitely had, I guess it's, well, yeah, that's another observation I'd save for a little bit later, but King Woods taking on Jimmy Uso. If King Woods loses, he has to acknowledge the tribal chief. If Jimmy loses, he has to bend the knee. Xavier Woods hamming up the King of the Ring is something that I really hope can last a full calendar year. I'm not sure. Maybe some of these jokes will get old if they use them too much, but we shall see. And but I do like this storyline. It's a good one to keep Roman Reigns tied up without keeping him tied up, really.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. I mean, obviously, it will transition to Biggie at Survivor Series, so that part works. Yeah, no, it's a fine use of this time period. Nothing huge is gonna be happening for a while here. So we can mess around, have a little fun. The match on Friday is gonna be Reigns and Woods 1-on-1. So that could be fun. Not much to say about it. It's what they're doing to fill time right now.
This was something that by saying Survivor Series, it was something that we did discuss last week that I guess could be something of a theme in WWE programming. They definitely got around to the Survivor Series brand versus brand topic here after you and I last recorded.
They definitely have. Good for them, finally.
It is hilarious that Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are both trying to pretend like they care for both brands equally or something.
Yeah, that whole part's weird. Yeah.
When he was chastising Rey Mysterio, it was really awkward. It's just like, huh? What's going on here? Why is this happening? Hey, it would have at least made a little bit of sense if Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville separated to shows, at least for this kind of thing. At least that would give it some level of gravity. Like, I still don't really care, but it at least helps put something out there to create a little bit of a division.
Well, one King Woods today put out a video where he suggested some a raising of the stakes for these Survivor Series matches, at least the team elimination ones. The winning team gets numbers 26 through 30 in the Royal Rumble, and the losing team gets numbers 1 through 5. And that order would be determined by five-way elimination matches down the line. It gives them something to fight for.
I care about. I love it. Like, yeah. I don't think the WWE is going to go with it.
Well, then I don't know why they let them say it and then put it up.
They should. I mean, that should be the thing, but I mean, do you think that's going to be the thing?
I guess it does. Otherwise, why even play that? Unless unless the WWE creative and WWE digital are so far apart that one doesn't know what the other is doing. Even after all this restructuring, we've still got these WCW-esque holes in our organization. But yeah, no, I love the idea, so I really hope it comes to pass.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic if it comes to pass. Because, I mean, it has definitely been something that there have not been any stakes. Like, we've kind of talked about it, especially with the draft having been a little bit later in the year, and this year it's been even later than normal, where there isn't really a brand identity. They haven't done a whole lot of crossover stuff. I don't feel like crossover storylines for a while now. Except for in that little weird time period that they established for themselves between the draft and Crown Jewel. So, I mean, you could get a genuine feel for having brand identity, but, you know, again, it needs a little bit more time than what they normally give it these days. Like, yeah, they need to push the draft back to closer to when I feel like it originally started sometime closer to after WrestleMania. And yeah, I'm not sure when or why it has gotten kind of continually pushed back. Like, I mean, if it used to be in like April and now it's in, was it September or was it still actually October when they had the draft? Oh, I guess it was in October.
Yeah,
I just kind of push it back again a couple of months, you know. I guess it's kind of tough, you know, like trying to pick a good time to shuffle the deck is always awkward. I guess it wouldn't surprise me maybe after SummerSlam or something like that might work as a little bit better of a time period for them. Because you wrap up some big storylines usually at SummerSlam, and it might be a decent time to reset. But
yeah, it could be a little better, yeah.
But yeah, King Woods mentioning that, it does give them some stakes, you know? Unfortunately, I guess the reason I'm skeptical of it is because didn't he suggest that it was 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30?
Yeah.
I don't think Vince wants to determine his 30 right now. Like,
it's possible.
That's to me what throws it off. Being the first five entrants is one thing. Like that, there's probably less of a chance that one of those people goes the distance then, more than likely. But I don't think that's as much of a problem. Those back end numbers, especially since the majority of winners have come from those slots. I want to say like 26 through 30. I know there have been a lot of ones and twos, however you qualify those, more than there really should be.
Yeah.
But those deep, but not... Well, I guess I shouldn't even say 30, because 30 hasn't won that many times, if memory serves. I'm not really going to look that up, but... I feel like 26 is kind of the lucky number? Or something.
27, I think it is.
27, okay.
I think it's 27, yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of want to be at the tail end there. So, yeah, it would go against the WWE's numbers, so that's why I'm a little bit skeptical. And just because I think Woods is such a... I guess he's just always, to me, he's just always out there and kind of throwing out ideas. And I guess I don't think that the WWE listens sometimes or most of the times. So that I guess that's why I'm a little skeptical. But it would be fun. It would put some stakes in those matches for sure. Other than just brand supremacy, like, and plus. And maybe this is another reason why it can't happen. It would at least quell arguing within a team. Because they really love to have the arguing teams these days. And really, yeah. They even started it with the Raw women's team. Because who was running down Nikki Cross? Was it Carmella and someone else?
Yeah, Carmella, yeah. Carmella and Zelina, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like... Like, you just see... At least there would be some reason for Rhea not to rip their heads off.
Yeah.
And and speaking of Zelina, I do find it interesting that... we kind of have two cosplayers playing the king and the queen in the WWE this year.
Oh, yeah.
It could make for some interesting TV. We will see if Queen Zelina can deliver or even gets half of the time that Xavier Woods gets.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I get. I'm trying to think if it'd be any easier to predict the women's winner right now. I mean, could you say that Liv Morgan is an early favorite for a Royal Rumble winner?
Not Royal Rumble winner. She's gotten the title shot beforehand.
Well, right. But I guess I'm thinking she's not going to beat big time Bex this go around.
I don't think they like her. I don't think they like Liv that much.
Right. Yeah.
She's getting day one. if they even make it that far. If they don't just do it on an episode of Raw sometime after Survivor Series.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I said her winning the Royal Rumble, just because she'd need another shot to actually win the championship and a proper build up, honestly. They've been entirely too haphazard with her to put any faith in her winning the Royal Rumble. But I was trying to think of some of the ladies that are on the list, because Bianca could win it again.
I'm thinking that that's a strong possibility.
Yeah, so she could be in that list there. Cause have they determined the men's side already?
Yeah.
I guess I just paid less attention to it. Because there was the five-way match with the women, it was a little bit easier to keep up on who that was. Yeah, bunch of hodgepodgey topic day here. Ooh, man, there is not a whole lot on SmackDown. I do appreciate the tailor that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are using.
Yeah, their outfits are pretty wild.
they are working some overtime. I will say that. And I would imagine getting paid handsomely to do so. You know, I honestly hadn't thought about the fact that Bobby Lashley had been out for a couple of weeks. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's what it is. Is what it is. It's nothing. I mean, he wasn't needed for the 2 weeks after crown jewel, and he did take the spear off the stage through a table, so it's not a huge deal to keep him off and bring him back with MVP, so that act is whole again. You know, absolutely bludgeon Dominic Mysterio to get to claim his spot on the team, so that and the sore thumb has now been removed from Team Raw, because that Team Raw is pretty damn impressive.
Because it's all former champions.
Yes.
Because what Ray's on the team.
Yeah, Ray's on the team. It's Bray, Lashley now, Seth, Kevin Owens, and Finn Balor.
Yeah, that is quite a list of names. And who's on SmackDown's side? Have they determined that yet?
Drew McIntyre, King Woods, but not Kofi. Kofi, I guess, is going to be selling an injury for a couple of weeks at least. Corbin. Oh, crap. Okay.
I do Woods, not have that Corbin pulled up. Just Woods, let you flail. because did they determine that on SmackDown?
Or no, they announced that over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter. This is, I don't know if it's more embarrassing for me or SmackDown.
Oh,
probably SmackDown, honestly, because that team is not impressive. Oh, Sami Zayn's the other one that I remembered, and then the fifth guy on SmackDown. Okay.
Yeah, really not good. If you're needing to do this much searching to figure out who the fifth person is,
Jeff Hardy.
Oh, geez. The guy who just changed brands. Of course, Ray just changed brands too. So
yeah.
Yeah. As much as I feel like Ray, he's been used and misused in his time back in the WWE. I guess he's been in a better position than Jeffrey has been.
Yeah, definitely has been.
Yeah, Jeff's just had a tough run pretty much the whole time. So yeah, much more formidable group on Raw there than on SmackDown. I mean, Drew McIntyre is the only one you have, and honestly, he's probably still about the only one to challenge Roman Reigns on SmackDown these days. So I guess it's not a complete surprise that he is leading the Survivor Series tag team match to at least keep those guys apart for a little bit at least.
Yeah. No, I mean, Drew's definitely the big match on the SmackDown exclusive side of things. So they'll certainly, I think, take their time with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. Like, Drew kind of needs a little bit of breathing time, since he is, he's had his own losing issues recently, so he kind of needs to kind of get back on the winning track here before going up against the Tribal Chief. I think that would be a useful thing, even if it's some what are probably going to be mostly filler victories at this point.
Yeah.
Any other uh, what did you think of the 24/7 title shenanigans this week? Since they really had some pretty serious shenanigans going on, considering that for some reason the announcers got in on the title action this week.
Yeah, for the first time in a while, I guess 24/7 title got a bit of a chuckle out of me with all the roll ups and then Corey and Byron getting involved. Byron getting a measure of revenge for the years and years of abuse that verbal abuse that Corey Graves has spewed at him. That was fun. That was funny. But in the end, the title ends up right back on Reggie. So, well, what are you gonna do? I mean, it's the 24/7 title. It's really not worth the time that anyone would spend actually complaining about it.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange to me that it always ends up back in the original owner's hands by the end of pretty much any wrestling match that occurs in the WWE ring with rules suspended. It seems like they end up losing it after their match, but somehow end up regaining it before they have to leave the ringside area.
Yeah.
So, have fun, Reggie. You go with it. Yeah. That match, I guess there is something to be said, maybe. Kevin Owens continuing to be featured. Like, he is definitely sticking around for longer than 3 months. Either that or these are going to be the best, well, I shouldn't say best 3 months of Kevin Owens, but they are going to at least somewhat prominently feature this man for his remaining couple of months, if that is indeed the case.
Yeah, it does seem like the pendulum's swinging towards him staying. That, you know, that they built the entire episode of Raw around him. He, in the end, did make his heel turn on Big E, so he is going to be heavily featured and over the next couple of months, at least on WWE TV. Yeah, it was a well done deal. You know, Kevin Owens is back as a heel. You know, he's effective in both roles, but could certainly be a good opponent for Big E going forward. So, that's all good stuff.
Yeah, he is super versatile, and Owens has done a great job of being the workaday baby face. But I could also see a change back would help him out a little bit to kind of keep his character fresh. And they did do a good job of letting Kevin Owens stew in his own problems. You had Big E blowing him off earlier in the show. You had Seth Rollins running him down earlier in the show. So when you end up at the main event, you get the explosion and occasionally the WWE does write a half decent storyline. And this was one of them.
It's definitely Kevin Owens. Definitely has the out of, you know, I try to be a nice guy, but I snapped, and you know, playing it that way. So yeah, no, it was all really well done.
Anything else? Oh, I guess. Do you want to talk any Rampage before getting on out of here? Because I don't feel anything else WWE related to get off my chest.
Yeah, we can definitely talk Rampage. We can definitely talk CM Punk and Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there that I'm not completely aware of, you know. Like, they've done a good job of taking something that is definitely more of a do you want to say a locker room storyline?
Yeah, and it's very inside, yeah.
Inside, yeah. An inside storyline to the main roster without revealing... Like, I feel like they've done a good job of keeping a little bit of anonymity while also calling out certain aspects of it. So I feel like they've had this nice balance of barb throwing on each side.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually have. Yeah, it was certainly the highlight of Rampage. You know, they both seem very, very they're invested in this 100%, and you know that's how it works. And because you can feel, I don't know what's real and what isn't, but in that moment you could feel these two don't like each other. Known each other a long time. They got a lot of mutual friends. They spend a lot of time around each other, but they can't stand each other. And I think that resonates with people. There's always that friend's friend you don't like, but he always invites them to everything, and you gotta put up with it. That's these two with each other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I am glad that I have not had too many of those, but there have definitely been some interesting friends that have always needed to come along for the ride. That
exactly, yeah. The part, it resonates with people. Now these two don't like each other. No, you know, Punk has always thought he was better than everybody else. He's always had that air about him. Yes, there's things about CM Punk that are likable, that are worthy of respect, but he's always carried that air of he thinks he's better than everyone else. Of course, he's going to think he's better than someone like Eddie Kingston. Of course, Eddie Kingston's not going to take that crap from anybody.
Yeah, Eddie Kingston has has really just done a great job in AEW. Just I think it's kind of open and shut. I have gone from. He was one of those guys that on the AIW podcast there, John Thorne, always talked about how great he was. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I've never really seen it. You know, I'd seen him on enough indies outside of even AIW to go, I don't know, there was nothing, I could never seem to get invested in him. But wow, he has really showed off why he's kind of an indie legend.
Yeah, no. And in AEW, they've more weeks than that. Let him cut a damn promo. Yeah. That really is, that is most of the battle right there.
It helps when you get to cut long-winded promos. It really does your character a lot of good. And this was no different. Like, and it is fun. Like, this was one of those ones where when they kind of talk about gray area, I do feel like this kind of storyline hits at something like that where you can kind of pick sides if you want to. But 9 times out of 10, you're really dealing with a more black and white issue than this.
Yeah, no. This is how and why when Shades of Grey works in wrestling. This is why when fans can ride the fence, pick one or the other. In the end, I don't know if either of them is going to end up a full-fledged heel. They might. Oh. Although after Friday, the chances of that person being CM Punk, if unlikely, went up. Because, man, people did not like CM Punk calling Eddie Kingston a bum. That got an immediate hush. That got an immediate gasp, and then hush, and then booze reaction.
Yes. Yes, it did. And I'm with you. Like, I was like, oh, are they going to turn on CM Punk because he called Kingston a bum? Like, that was definitely a thought. I'm like, okay. uh, we shall see, I suppose. But yeah, I don't think the crowd's ever gonna completely turn on CM Punk. So it would be pretty surprising if that ends up happening in a full fledged kind of a way. Yeah, I was gonna say we got another Bryan Danielson match on Rampage. Ever since CM Punk stopped wrestling on Rampage, Bryan Danielson had to take over. I think it's mandatory. Adam Cole, John Silver. My biggest beef with this match is that Adam Cole came back from a concerto in 2 days.
Yeah.
Not a...
You're not... Well, yeah.
Not a fan of that.
Yeah, no. But he was selling it. To the point, I thought he somehow blew out his knee or his quad or something. He wasn't moving great during courses of that match, but I guess he was just selling. But yeah, I get your point, and I probably would not have had him wrestle 2 days after that. But again, I don't know if I would. I was not a fan of that brawl at all. I felt it was one of the clunkier things on AEW TV in a while. It didn't really work with me.
Oh,
not six guys who are brawlers in that way typically.
I think because of the level of dirty everything has been, it's been a little bit awkward. Because as much as the Young Bucks and because I'm trying to think if Kenny Omega is involved in this one. Yeah? No. Oh, Adam Cole. You think of them as slimy, but you don't think of them as kind of evil.
Yeah.
Which kind of they have, those things have different attributes. So it's kind of weird to have like this real killer instinct for the elite that, yeah, doesn't really seem to resonate well with them. And yeah, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian. Christian is a heel. I could see it happening. Christian is a babyface. It feels awkward. Not him as a babyface, but him really trying to seek retribution and really even giving someone a concerto, honestly, I thought was kind of awkward for his character.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So, but it was, I did like the Adam Cole, John Silver match.
Yeah, that was a good match. I liked that match a lot.
So, I guess that's why I highlighted the concerto thing first, because I'm like, man, I really dug the match, so whatever.
it was a really good match. Silver has been showing more and more lately, so that's good. That was a good match for him, even in defeat.
He's definitely someone that they can let him cook for a while. He's over enough with the crowd that he can bounce back, especially from a high profile loss like this to someone that obviously even the people in AEW they know who Adam Cole is, so they're gonna treat him like a main eventer. Yeah, Silver can take a loss like this. Oof. Anything else in wrestling land to cover before beer talk?
Nope. Go ahead.
Belt on Beer Discount Nachos from Hoofhearted Brewing here in, they're actually out of Marengo, Ohio, but they also have a place here in Columbus. This is their double dry hopped IPA, 7.3% alcohol. It is quite tasty, and it is part of their nacho series. They have discount nachos, they have $60 nachos, they have $120 nachos, and I think they also have $120 nacho, or, hold on, $60, $120, is it $1,000 nachos or something like that, or $1,000,000 nachos? Like, they all jump up a grade. Because this is just a regular IPA. The 60, if I'm not mistaken, is a double. The 120 is a triple. And maybe that's where it stops. Maybe that's just how they have it listed. Like, it's all similar beers, but I think I only got the discount nachos. So the next time they come out with this, I am definitely going to look into getting more of the nacho series.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Is the one is $120 really $120?
No.
Okay.
It is not cheap, but it is not $120.
Okay.
just the name of the beer, thankfully. It might be in the $20 range for a 4-pack, but don't quote me on that. But in general, Who Farted Brewing is puts out some very tasty stuff. It is definitely one of my more favorite breweries here in the Columbus area. So if you happen to be in these parts, I highly suggest giving them a try out. And that's a suggestion from @DeFrango11. That is @StuntCali. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of your purveyors or podcasts, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google, Stitcher, whole bevy of them you can download us from. So have a good night, grandkids. Later.
Later.